grateful that you guys have taken time out of your lives to just come and be part of what God is doing. You know, what this is all about is really the answer to heart cries of not only yourself, but so many of us that have wanted to see an opportunity arise where we could actually do more, you know. My personal frustration over the years has been, you know, I try very hard to teach well, to share messages that are dynamic and full of truth. But even with all of that, I would see how people would get inspired, you know, get built up and pumped up in the meeting, but it didn't translate into any kind of sustainable transformation.
Amen.
And so this impact thing, this kind of gathering, this kind of connection is something that is truly, I think, the heart of God for every single one of us. And so it's a privilege and an honor, honestly, that you would give us, myself and the Fields and Gary, you know, that you would give us this access into your lives. We don't take it for granted by any means. And I loved what Roger was sharing this morning about relationship, using the prodigal son story as part of that. I actually have that in my own notes for today. So, you know, we track so well in terms of what the Lord is wanting to emphasize. And the message that I want to engage the Lord with you, okay, when we share the word together, we want to encounter Him. We want to encounter the Word, who is Jesus, in the sharing of the Word, of the Logos, the Rhema, all of that good stuff, right? Because if I don't encounter Him, if the Word does not become real through His presence, it doesn't change me. It just makes me more religious because, oh, I know that now, you know, but I don't. Okay. So the thing that the Lord wanted me to share with you, for us to engage Him in, the title of it is "The Government of Heaven is Family." We're on a journey this year that I hope many of you will join us in, of really learning what it's like to release heaven itself, the values and the culture of heaven, through our very lives. And so, you know, in order to understand this idea of the government of heaven being equivalent to family, we have to go back to the beginning, right? So much of what we understand about the Lord and about our lives is rooted in those beginnings, in Genesis. And so in the first chapter, verses 26 to 28, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Did you know you have authority over creeps? It's awesome. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Okay? So, let me ask you this. In this passage alone, what is the very first clue that we get that relationship is something that the Lord values?
Yes.
Let us.
Okay, exactly. What does that represent? What does the us represent? The Trinity,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Lord Himself, in His Trinity, represents relationship, okay? And we've got to understand this. One of the most powerful things that the Lord shared with me was that relationship is His highest priority. And that if I didn't read His word through the lens of relationship, I wouldn't understand it. At least not in its fullness. We have to read the entire Bible through the lens of relationship. Otherwise, there's a lot in there that doesn't make sense or gets misinterpreted. Okay? When you look at the Word of God through the lens of relationship, all of a sudden, the things that the Lord says, which are warnings, you know, which are commandments, no longer have, as part of those things, no longer have punishment. Why? Because he's saying them out of a heart of a father that wants to protect his kids from stuff. Okay? So that's just one example, but we've got to understand that for him, relationship is the highest priority. So understanding that, why did he have to make us in his image?
So we could be included in his relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We had to be made in his image so that we could relate to him. Right? When Adam, you know, it was Adam was created first and Eve, you know, was created. Why did God create Eve? Because it says in the Bible that Adam looked around and didn't see anyone that was like him. Okay? Now think about this. The Lord, in eternity past, was surrounded by angels. Yet evidently, he looked around and didn't see anyone like him.
Yeah.
Like himself.
That felt good.
Yeah. Yeah. Write that one down.
You might want to write that one down. And so he wanted to make us. He wanted to create us in his image so that he could actually have a relationship with people that were somewhat like him or like him in many ways, apart from being divine. I know some of you ladies think you look divine.
Well, you are.
You look divine, honey. Okay. So This idea of relational government that's rooted in the nature of God himself is what we want to understand so that we can experience that. Do you agree that that would be a good thing? Right? Because we have experience with human governments, right? There are human governments that we deal with, you know, almost all our lives, like federal government, state government, the government that exists at your job, you know. The church has governments as well. Unfortunately, many of those governments are patterned after the world's. And so we don't experience the kind of thing that the Bible is talking about or that the Lord wants for us. Right? Even in our own human families, it's very rare to find the kind of government that the Bible is talking about, that the Lord has on his heart, right? Okay, we all know the different kinds of ways parents can govern their kids. So we see this in the beginning. We see that the government of God was exampled in the Trinity, but it was then delegated to Adam and Eve. It was delegated to Adam and Eve. God told them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and rule. Okay? And so the idea there was that they were given a mandate from God to basically expand his government over the whole earth. Right? And we know that that didn't continue because they decided they liked the snake more than they liked. So we've been kind of in this. You know, there was this long period of interruption that the Lord's plans couldn't be accomplished. But of course, we know when Jesus came, everything changed, right? Everything changed. And so, you go from the beginning to the end, and you see the same thing. Revelation 19, 7 to 9. It says, this is an angel speaking. He says, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Mm. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. So we see at the end of all things, relationship. Jesus has a bride that we are. And we are going to be in this eternal relationship. This eternal, you know, there's a romantic element to that, right? Mm-hmm. Where we will experience a level of his closeness and love for us that maybe we'll never be able to achieve here because of the limitations. But that's the destiny that all of us have, is that eternal relationship, right? John further expands on this when he writes in Revelation 21, 9 and 10, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke to me saying, come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now here's what's interesting about that. The bride is described as a city. Now, cities typically have governments as well, right? So what we're seeing is that this government that now exists in heaven, that the Lord wants to cover the earth, is never going to go away. And it's going to exist within the context of our eternal relationships with each other and with him. So there's absolutely no way that you could ever say that relationship is unimportant or secondary. You know, oh, don't worry about that. You need to know X, Y. No, that's the key. I believe it's the key to everything in terms of understanding who he is and what he wants for each of us. That makes sense?
Please stop here and answer the process questions.
So, what does the government actually look like? That's what we're looking for tonight, today. You know, what does the government of heaven look like? It's a family thing. Because we have a Father, we have a Son, we have Holy Spirit, who has a very maternal, nurturing aspect, right? We know that the Bible calls us sons and daughters, right? Brothers and sisters, we're all related. There's a relational aspect to everything, but what does it look like? Well, here's where I overlap a little with Roger, because the Lord said, the prodigal son gives you the most clear picture of what my government looks like. And it's such a familiar story because you've got these two sons who are on very, very different tracks in their life, yet they have the same father. And the prodigal son represents so many of us, right? As those who basically decided to be independent from him in whatever way. Okay? I mean, think about yourself right now. And I want you to think about the times in your life when you really weren't paying attention to him. Right? We all have that. We've all got that history at some point. Unless, of course, you got saved when you were like 2 or 3 or 4 years old. And God bless you if you did. You can come and teach the rest of us. But, yeah. Think about those times and think about how the Lord, how he addressed you. How did he reach you? How did he touch you while you were still out there? Okay? I don't know about you, but there was never a day that went by when he didn't enter my mind. No matter how far, and I've talked to plenty of people that have really gone out, you know, to the edges in the prodigal world. And invariably, that's what they tell me. Even while I was out there stoned and doing all kinds of stuff, He was always there in my mind. And what's interesting about that, he wasn't the one that was condemning or judging.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It was others. Mm-hmm. And it was other voices.
For
it was
ourselves.
Never his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so the prodigal, when he finally comes to his senses and realizes what a jerk he's been and how he's messed that thing up, you know, and he comes back home with that rehearsed speech, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. How many of us have been there? I'm not worthy of anything you have for me, Lord. Just make me as one of your hired servants and I'll be happy. You know, I'll sit in the back. Right? Before the young man even sets foot on the property, the father, seeing him at a distance, runs, wraps his arms around him, kisses him, and immediately will get a robe, will get a ring, will get sandals. You know what those things represent prophetically? The robe represents the identity that was always his as a son of that father. The rings represent authority. Right? They would often use a ring to impress the wax on a parchment that was being sealed. Sandals represent purpose and destiny. And so this young man is wholly and completely received by the Father. Did you ever notice that in this story, this always gets me, the Father never says, I forgive you. You know why? He had forgiven him when he left. That father had forgiven his son the moment he stepped out the door. He made the choice to forgive him. You know what that sounds like, right? Sounds an awful lot like the cross, where Father God was satisfied with the blood of Jesus, satisfied with the sacrifice of his son, and because of that, he said, you are forgiven. And if you believe that, it'll be just as if you never sinned. You'll be justified. This is a government unlike none that we know on earth. There's no other government like this. Because it's rooted in love. It's rooted in that forgiving, merciful heart of the Father, who values relationship more than following the rules. Now you know and I know that the rules are given to us because they're good. And if we follow his wisdom, we live a better life than if we ignore what he says. But his relationship with us never varies according to our performance. And that's what we learn in this story. No matter how I mess up, no matter how far I fall, he's still there. He's still saying, it's okay, come home. Right? My home is missing something if you're not there. My heart is missing something. There's so many ways to say it. And so the prodigal gives us that side, and the elder brother gives us the other side of that equation. Those who maybe never physically run away, but have run away in their hearts. And I've lived that as well. Having grown up in religious structures and environments where I felt pretty good about myself. You know, I was following the rules now. I was reading my Bible every day, faithfully praying every day. I would even witness to a few people every week. You know, I was looked upon as one of the pillars of the church. Yet in all of that, and you think about yourself as well, if you've been in that kind of life. If you haven't, can I tell you, you are very blessed. If you have never experienced a religious lifestyle, thank God.
Amen.
You know, because it takes time to unlearn that junk. You know, performance is beat into us. Everywhere we go, we're raised in an environment of performance. You know, you better get an A. You better not get detention or whatever. So this young man, the elder brother, was living a life of performance. But as Roger pointed out, there was no relationship. No relationship with his father. And I know, because I know the heart of the father, I know that that grieved him as much as the prodigal's leaving. Because relationship is what matters to Papa. And so that young man, as many of us have discovered in our own lives, right? He was clueless about what was actually possible in the relational aspect with father. Oh, you never gave me this, you never gave me that. What are you talking about? This is all yours. Everything I have is yours. But see, when we're in that frame of mind, we absolutely can't access all that Papa has for us because we don't think that we've measured up. We don't think we've measured up to what he wants, so we can't. Right? So I just want to ask Holy Spirit right now that if any of you still struggle, you know, with performance stuff, where you feel like you don't measure up, you feel like you haven't done enough and you're not worthy because of your weaknesses and your failures and whatever else, I want you just to give that to him right now. And just receive from him the assurance in your heart, I'm not looking at that anymore. I am not looking at your performance. I look at your heart and I see that you love me, that you want what I want, even though you may not do it perfectly. I am for you. I am not against you. That's the heart of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
It's awesome.
Please stop here and answer the process questions.
So, in this picture of the government of heaven that we see in this parable, I think we can isolate three major emphases or responsibilities of government, especially of heavenly government. And they are very simply protection, right? The government of heaven is a safe place. Wherever the government of heaven exists, it's a safe place. Okay? Very important. Number two, provision. Under the government of heaven, your needs are absolutely guaranteed to be met. I mean, you think that's good news?
Yeah, man.
Right? And then the third one is empowerment, which means that in the government of heaven, you absolutely have permission and the capability to fulfill your destiny. Okay? So those are the three major areas of responsibility or purposes of government, especially the heaven, you know, the government of heaven, to provide that safe place, that protection, to provide the provision that meets needs, to also release people, empowering people to become all that they were created to be and to do all that they were created to do. And honestly, that what I've just told you is the foundation for impact. You know, we want to help you Come into a safe place in your walk with the Lord where you are so secure in who you are as a son or daughter that nothing and no one can ever knock you off, knock you out of that place.
Amen.
And so many of you have had experiences in your life where people have spoken negative and hurtful and abusive things and done things of that nature to you, that it has perverted how you see yourself in some ways. And we're all in a process now of seeing that become exposed so that it can be removed and replaced with who you really are. And become, again, so settled in that, that you'll never, ever be offended again by anybody's stupidity against you. That's what Papa's doing. And we're here because relationally, okay, we're when we talk provision in this context, I wish it were so that we had unlimited finances to hand out to all of you that needed money. But you know what? We have something that's probably better. Because what we have is a relational network in the body of Christ where you get to be a resource to somebody's need. Whether through prayer or encouragement, counsel, right? Or maybe in some physical way as well. Maybe God has blessed you and you hear a need. You know, I can help you with that. We have this relational thing going on where we are resourcing one another with the provision of God. Do you realize that your provision from God just doesn't come directly from Him? It's not just your paycheck. It's just, you know what I'm saying? That so much of the provision that the Lord has for you and I is going to come within the context of our relationships. That's why it so burdens and I get so worked up when I see someone who's isolated. Because I know that they are robbing themselves of what the Lord has for them through being connected to the right people. And I do say the right people.
Mm.
Okay. Because, you know, not everybody has the heart of the Father in relationships. And so, unfortunately, there are still many folks out there who will enter into relationships with you so that they can suck you dry. Or that they can control you, they can try to, you know, do something that's not going to bless you in some way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what encourages me so much is that the Lord is raising up things like this where people can actually find the right connections that will help them advance. Okay. And the same goes for the empowerment aspect. We absolutely get to help each other to get where He wants to take us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're here because, you know, Roger and Robin and myself and Gary, you know, we have lived maybe a little longer than you in this thing. We've had a little more experience and God's blessed us with some things. And so our desire is to release that, impart that, give you the benefit of the learning that we've had, the mistakes that we've made. We don't want you to make the same dumb mistakes we made. You know? So we want to give you that. We want to empower you with what we've learned. But you can do the same in your relationships with others in the body of Christ. Whoever it is that God shows you that He's connecting to you, you absolutely get to empower them to get where He wants to take them. What's cool about it is that no two people are alike, so no two relationships will be the same. You'll never get bored. You'll never get bored. I think if I had to teach the same material over and over again, I would just say, get me out of here. You know, I'm not going to do that. That's boring. Instead, we get to have this dynamic flow where He speaks through us to others according to the need. Are you glad about that?
Yes.
Okay, so right now, I want you to ask Holy Spirit to show you either faces or names of those that He wants you to connect with more intentionally in this season. And write them down right now. Holy Spirit, who do you want me to connect with in a more intentional way in this season? And just begin to write those names down right now so that you can begin praying. You know, as you talk to Papa about these folks, He's absolutely going to show you what He wants. He'll show you what He wants you to do. He may even show you what He wants them to do for you. How about that? Hey, I need your help in this area. Could you help me? All right? Who are those folks? This is something that He is so intentional about right now, that if you will be faithful to let Him lead you in this, it's going to absolutely accelerate your growth in the Lord. If that matters to you, if accelerating your growth and maturity in God matters to you, you don't want to forget to do this. This is important. Okay? Paul made it very clear in Ephesians 4 when he described how the body of Christ worked. He said, the growth of the body happens at the joints, when every joint supplies. Right? So if we're not connecting like joints connect, we miss out on the supply that He's ordained for each of us through those connections. Now here's a quick question. How many of you have already pressed into those kind of connections and you have been blessed out of your mind because of those connections? Raise your hand. Look at that. See, God is faithful. So be encouraged. He's going to do amazing things through this one thing if you'll do it.
Please stop here and answer the process questions.
Now, what's interesting about where we are today in the plan of God, right? We're talking about the government of God. We're talking about how He wants that release, the government of heaven released on the earth. Well, we are now in an era where our understanding of what He's after has really grown. Listen, I've been in the church most of my life, okay? And for most of that time, you know, starting around the year 2000 is when God really began to open up my understanding about some things. But even so, it's only been over the past 5 years that I've truly understood what it means to be apostolic. And we are in the midst of an apostolic movement. Yeah. Now, it's not the entire church yet. May never be the entire church. But there are definitely streams and segments of the body of Christ that are moving in an apostolic way. What does that mean? Well, let me just give you this as a way to start with this. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, ambassadors. Think about that for a minute. What's the job of an ambassador?
Representation?
Relationship with foreign countries.
Okay, that's part of it. What's the job of an ambassador?
Like messenger?
To represent.
But let's get specific.
The country. Represent the kingdom.
They're representing the country from which
they were sent.
Exactly. So in our country, we have ambassadors that have been sent from many nations. And while they're here, they are the face and the voice of their nation. Okay? Now understand that these people don't just wake up one day and say, well, I think I'm going to be an ambassador. No. They don't do that. They are sent, they are appointed and sent by their home government into that position, into that job. Okay? Now you know what the apostolic looks like. I am not in any way trying to say that you are an apostle. You may be, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we're apostolic. What am I saying? We have all been sent. You're not just simply here, to kind of take up space and use up some oxygen and burn some calories. All right? We're here because we are sent by God. Now, the original definition or idea behind the apostle, have you heard this one? It's pretty cool. This idea actually comes out of Roman culture. When Rome would conquer an opposing area or city, that would then become part of the Roman Empire, right? So an apostle would be sent in with a whole crew, man, we're talking ships of people, would accompany the apostle, who would be sent into this region that had just been conquered by Rome for one purpose: to convert that area to the culture of Rome. Okay? The purpose of the apostle was to institute and establish the culture of Rome in that newly conquered land. You know why? There's only one reason why they did this. So that when the emperor of Rome came to visit that new territory that was just conquered, he would feel absolutely at home. He would feel like, oh, this is just like home in Rome. Okay? Are you getting the picture? Are you connecting the dots? We have been sent not as individual apostles, but as part of an apostolic movement that understands that the culture of heaven, right? Culture is how you do things, right? It's the atmosphere that you create. Many of us have been in environments that where the culture was not good, where it was toxic, where you came out of that always feeling beat down and hurt and wounded or whatever. It was not a good context, a good culture. Right? So we're talking about establishing a government and a culture that's unlike anything here on the earth. Mm. And we're sent for that purpose. Okay. So, this apostolic movement is really God restoring us, now get this, God restoring us back to the original plan that he gave to Adam and Eve. I want my government to cover the earth. I want the culture of heaven to cover the earth. So you need to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue anything that doesn't agree with what I want, what God says, and then rule to make sure that it stays according to my will. Okay? Jesus commanded us to pray, your will be done. Right? Your kingdom come now on earth as it is in heaven. So our responsibility is, well, we need to know what it's like. What is that culture like? What does it look like when the government of God is fully established in my life, in my home, in my neighborhood, perhaps? Oh, look at that pretty snowfall, huh? In my neighborhood, in my job, in my church, in the world itself, there is all kinds of these different concentric circles of influence that the Lord says you have the ability to transform that area so that it becomes like what? Heaven on earth. Does that make sense? There are so many places where there are people who don't have this kind of relationship with the Father, right? Places where folks, where it's not a safe place. There's plenty of places where people are not safe for whatever reason, where their needs aren't being met, where they're absolutely not being empowered to become what Papa had in mind for them all along. That's the challenge. That's the, really, it's an invitation. He's saying, will you go? You know, who will go? I hear my Lord send me. And so for us, as an apostolic movement of people who want to engage in this, who absolutely want to be part of what the Father's doing to bring His glorious presence throughout the whole earth, right?
Amen.
We've got to know who we are. We have to know our identity, and as part of that, we've got to know our authority. Okay? Because, again, there's still a lot of stuff out there that doesn't yet agree with what He wants. Stuff that's just not His will. And so, for us, we get to participate in the administration of the justice of God. Now, that doesn't probably resonate with you yet.
Please repeat that.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying is that we are, in order for the government of God to be released and established in the culture of heaven, we're going to have to execute and administrate the justice of God in the earth. And for a lot of us, when we hear the word justice, you know, we think of standing before a judge and the gavel being brought down and you're guilty, pay the fine or go to jail.
Yep.
That's our picture of justice, and it is absolutely not how God defines justice. The justice that the Lord is talking about, which you'll see throughout Scripture, and I love the passage in Isaiah where the Lord prophesies about Messiah coming and saying that He will bring justice to the coastlands, and justice is all over that passage. The idea is simply this. God never, ever intended for the human race to be put into subjection to a evil tyrant dictator called Lucifer. Okay? That was never the will of God. Yes, it was a consequence of a choice that was made. But that choice that Adam made was precipitated by deception of Eve. And so the heart of God, what He had desired for us as a people, as the human race, was absolutely torn away from Him. And that's an injustice perpetrated by Satan himself. Now, what happened at Calvary, folks? What happened at Calvary? What happened to the devil? Was he just kind of bee slapped?
No.
I'm being kind here. Or was he defeated?
He was crushed.
He was totally, absolutely defeated by Jesus.
Amen.
Now, He still exists, and He still exercises His influence, but He can only do so through intimidation and lies. We have the authority, because Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, I deputize you and authorize you. So here's the deal. Wherever people are still under the influence of the enemy, that's illegal.
Amen.
Yeah.
You need to get that. It's illegal. People and circumstances and situations that are under the influence and power of the enemy, that is illegal. You know, Jesus said in John 12, now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. Now, he was not obviously cast out of the world, but he was cast out of his position. He's no longer the God of this world. The only time he's still God of this world is to those who believe it, or those who agree with him. Okay? But in fact, in reality, he is not. He's been deposed. And so the justice of God, and I hope this starts to stir some of you up. All the heartache, the pain, the abuse, the sickness, the disease, you name it, that's out there is illegal. And we've been given the right to say, you're not guilty, you're free, be healed. Why? Because that's what Papa did. Through the blood, through the sacrifice of Christ.
Yeah.
Everything. You know, when John the Baptist happened to see Jesus walking toward him for the first time, he said something very interesting. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So we're living in a time when sin no longer separates us from God.
Yes.
What, you mean even those who aren't saved?
The whole world.
It's the world.
Yeah.
I'm repeating some things because we have some new folks here. 2 Corinthians 5 says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So let's just be honest. If God isn't counting trespasses anymore, why are we? Why are we judging people by what they do, what they say, and basically saying, I can't help you until you clean up your life? That's not the government of God. That's not the culture of heaven. The father in the prodigal son story absolutely didn't put any conditions on welcoming his son back, did he? He took him back filthy, smelly, and emaciated, horrible. He just wrapped his arms around him as is. That's the culture of heaven. That's the government of heaven. Okay? So, You know these scriptures, Acts 10:38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The justice of God. Or 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. The justice of God. Okay? So when we talk about the government of heaven, we're talking about releasing a culture where people are absolutely made to feel safe, where they begin to experience God's provision in their life, and where they become empowered, aka set free from the devil's power, from the devil's influence, so they can actually become what God had in mind all along for them. I don't know about you, but when I start to see this stuff, I was like, I'm in.
Amen.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Right? This is crazy. Amazing. So how many of you honestly feel like you want to experience more of this culture, of this government, right? So that we can effectively release it into the spheres of influence that we have.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Anybody?
Hands up.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad to see these hands. Because you know what? That's exactly what God told me that we're going to do this year.
Yeah.
With Impact.
Amen.
Woo-hoo!
Amen.
Please stop here and answer the process questions.
So here's what I want to do. I want to lead you right now in a declaration to kind of get your mind, you know, fully in gear with what the Lord is saying to us today. All right? So can I have you stand?
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. God likes the idea of standing. All right. Cool. All right. You ready?
Yes.
All right. I am.
I am.
An ambassador.
An ambassador.
Of the greatest kingdom.
Of the greatest kingdom.
In the universe.
In the universe.
And I serve.
And I serve.
A king.
A king.
Unlike any king.
Unlike any king.
Who is the greatest.
Who is the greatest.
The highest.
The highest.
And the best.
And the best.
King.
King.
In the universe.
In the universe.
And I am.
And I am.
His son or daughter.
His daughter.
And I am one.
And I am one.
With the King of Kings.
With the King of Kings.
And the Lord of Lords.
And the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.